week, which, you know, as I was preaching last week, we were talking about numbering our days and the importance of just setting priorities and things like that, and I totally said something that was absolutely wrong, and I want to make sure we cleared this up right off the top. I said last week that there were 54 days till Christmas. I don't know what I was thinking. It was actually 40 days until Christmas, so I'm really sorry for those of you who thought you had an extra couple weeks to get ready. You don't. And now there's actually only 33 days until Christmas, so now you're really going to be in a panic, but I really apologize for that. If you were counting on me for your calendar, please don't do that. It's a really bad idea. Okay, this week we are wrapping up a series that we've been in this fall about one another's. We've been talking all about what it means to live in community together. What does it look like for us to live together in this family of God called the church? This has been sort of tied in with our 50th anniversary celebration, you know, celebrating 50 years of us being together as a church family. And what is that, you know, the things that God has done over those 50 years. And as we wrap up this series that we're doing today on one another, how do we live with one another? We've been talking about, you know, forgiving one another and encouraging one another and even maybe saying something to one another that we need to correct, not judging one another. We're finishing off with one that's maybe a little tougher for us to swallow. We're finishing off with a topic that maybe makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable. And so let me just say this. If you are not a follower of Jesus, if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, this isn't really for you today. This is something that we have to do. So you can just go ahead feeling comfortable with not having to deal with this. Well, the rest of us get to squirm in our seats a little bit because this is something that we have to deal with. But feel free to listen in and check out what we have to do. So this topic today may not sit particularly well with you. And you may be wondering, what is it that we are actually talking about today? This is what we're talking about. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit. Anyone loving this day already? Glad you came to. Yeah, right on. There's one. Okay. Thanks, Ingrid. So let's talk a little bit just quickly about what it means to submit, and then we're going to get into what this looks like for us. So submit is a verb. Let's just back right up to this, which means to give over or yield to the power or authority of another. To put someone else, in a sense, in charge of us, to yield ourselves to someone else's power or authority in our lives, to put someone else really above ourselves, allow their word to carry weight in our life, right? To submit, to put someone else above ourselves. Now, we do this maybe a little bit more easily sometimes with God. It's easy to accept God's authority, at least in some places of our lives. In some places, we don't necessarily appreciate that quite as much, but maybe we're willing to yield authority to him because he's the one who made everything. He's the one who made us. He's the one who called us by Jesus, showed us grace, all sorts of good things. So we might yield ourselves to God. But what about to one another? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So let's just ask the question, how do you feel about submitting? Anyway, let's just throw out some answers. How do you feel about the idea of submitting yourself to someone else? Reluctant. Yeah, good one. See? Yeah, okay. Everyone's afraid to say it. Come on, just say it. How do you feel about submitting?
Two-way street.
It is a two-way street. That's right. Submit to one another. It's irritating. Okay. Depends on what you're submitting to doing. So maybe a little bit conditional here in terms of how we like to submit. Okay, anyone else?
Fearful.
Yeah. Feel fearful about submitting to someone else. Set aside your pride. Uh-huh. At times comforting. Interesting. It's one of those things, like I get to do, one of the perks of my job is I get to be involved in people's weddings from time to time. And, you know, as we go through premarital prep and we talk about the ceremony and how everything's going to go for that day, you know, we talk about what the wedding vows will look like. And oftentimes couples will write their own wedding vows. And I can tell you that in the last several years, the word submit does not make it into a whole lot of wedding vows anymore. And maybe you've gone to a number of weddings and you've had family members get married or different things like that. And you have noticed that too, that you don't often hear, you know, I will submit to you as a part of the wedding vows. It's not really popular to say it anymore, is it? It's not really a popular concept to think about submitting ourselves. Now, I'll just speak for myself. When I like to go driving, I've been told that I'm a little bit of a control freak because I make a much better driver than I do passenger. Now, that's not to say I'm a really great driver. It just goes to mean that I'm a really lousy passenger, right? Because I like to be in control of what's happening in the car. I want to be able to control the speed. I want to be able to control when we pass. I want to be able to control, you know, who to choose, whether we're going to pass this really slow driver that's driving me absolutely up the wall or not, right? I like to control. And I think one of the challenges for us when it comes to submitting is actually choosing to give up a sense of control. We need to actually choose to give up some amount of control over our lives, our choices, the things that we are doing, because we are submitting. We're putting someone else above ourselves. We're choosing to yield to their authority in our life. That means giving up some level of control. Now, as we heard from some of the responses out there, we can be a little bit reluctant to do that, fearful even, because there is a real vulnerability that comes with that. You start to put someone else in the driver's seat, and now you are submitting yourself, you're putting yourself in their power for what they're going to choose to do. And that can be scary. So it does require a great deal of trust. How are we doing so far? Everyone loving this one so far? This is a lot of fun, right? Submit to one another. Can't wait to practically work this out this week, am I right? Yeah? Okay. Didn't think so. Just thinking about this idea of submitting is a little bit tough to swallow, but we're going to look at it in just a few moments in a bit of a broader context for where this verse actually shows up in the book of Ephesians. When Paul is writing this letter to the church in Ephesus and dealing with issues going on there, what is he saying? Where is this coming in to the midst of all the other things he's saying to them? So we'll be having a look at that in just a moment, but before we get there, let's take a moment and just pause and pray and ask God to talk to us today, because this is one that I think we might have a tendency to put up some walls right away and go, yeah, that's nice, Dave. You can talk all you want. I'm not listening. Let's just pray and ask God to tell us what he has in mind for this, so it's not what I do, okay? Father, so we just thank you for your word today. And Lord, there are parts of it that are much easier to listen to than others. And some of the things we've talked about over these last weeks about how we are to live with one another have been really hard. These are not easy things to do, and we can't do it apart from your grace and your love in our lives. And so, Father, even as we come to another difficult topic today, something that was written in your word, we just ask that you would speak to us through your word today. God, that you would open up our ears to hear your voice speaking to us, that you'd open up our minds to understand how you want us to get this. And Lord, that we would be filled with confidence and boldness to actually go out and live this out. So Lord, would you just speak to us today however you want to. May we hear your words here today, Lord, not mine. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to back up a fair ways to the first part of chapter 4, the first verse of chapter 4. So this is backing up before chapter 5, going back a little ways. And Paul makes a statement. He says, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. With everything Jesus has done for you and the life you've been called into with him, the life you've been invited into to experience in him, new life, freedom life, life that is just full of abundance. In this life, in this calling you have to live in relationship with God, following his ways, live worthy of that calling. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And then, you know, from there, he starts to play this out a little bit about what this looks like. And as we get into chapter 5, there's another statement along this same kind of line where he says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Follow God's example there as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love. You know, this whole idea of living a life worthy of our calling, you know, we could say that's a great summary of everything we've been talking about these last several weeks. Live a life worthy. So in relationships with each other, deal with each other the way God's asked us to, in ways of forgiveness and love and grace and challenging one another and offering hospitality to each other, because that is living worthy of the calling we've received. And it also would be indicative of living in the way of love, walking in the way of love. We could summarize all that we've talked about with those couple statements. Now, as Paul carries on through this text, as we get towards verse 21, because this is the very start of chapter 5, he talks about a lot of different things. He says, don't go the way of sin. He talks about a lot of different sins, sexual immorality, greed, all sorts of different things. Don't go that way. That's not walking in the way of love. Okay? So if you're walking in the way of love, don't go that way, but rather choose to live in the light. Now, there's a couple parts to the idea of living in the light that he talks about. He talks about a transparency, because everything that's in the light is seen. Right? So be transparent. Be open with who you are. But there's also a sense of uprightness in living in the light. Not living in the way of sin, but choosing things that are good and holy and pleasing to God. Choosing things that we, you know, I think we just innately know are good things. Kindness. Being kind to others. Gentleness. Humility. Love. Live instead in the light. Don't go the way of sin, but live in the light. And then he says, be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't be filled, don't get drunk on wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't fill yourself up with things that will just distract you from life, but instead fill yourself up with the very author of life. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, he's the one who's going to actually make us live in those ways of love. Elsewhere, Paul writes about the fruit of the Spirit, the things that the Spirit produces in us. The kinds of attitudes and behaviors, love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, patience. That's the kind of stuff that happens when we are filled with the Spirit. Those are the kinds of things that start to come out of our life. This is walking in the way of love. So don't go the way of sin. Instead, walk in the light. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't fill yourself with the distractions of the world and the stuff that just dulls down your senses to the world. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. In the midst of all these other things, this is where it comes. So as was pointed out already, there's a mutuality in this, right? It's submit to one another. This is a two-way street. This is not just one of you doing this and the other one not. This is a two-way street. But the other piece of this that's really important is that little phrase at the end, out of reverence for Christ. Reverence, respect. Even bigger than just respect, though, an awe-filled respect. Who do you respect that way? Who do you have in your life that you look up to and you respect them? I mean, you think they're a pretty cool person, they got some good stuff going on. But it goes beyond just thinking they're actually pretty neat to a point where you go, man, now they have lived well. Or I just really love who that person is. I just have incredible respect for them. Do you have a picture of someone in your life that kind of just sticks out? You go, man, that's what I want to be, in a sense. That's who I aspire to be like. I can tell you, just as, you know, it's an interesting journey growing up. And I say that, you know, turning 40 this year was a little bit, you know, there's a bit of a shift that happens in terms of how you think about life and evaluate things. But it's great to be able to look up to some others who have gone, you know, a few years ahead of me. And be able to see how they're handling themselves down the road and be filled with a sense of deep respect for the way they're continuing to live their life. And thinking to myself, that is how I want to be living when I am that age. When I'm 50, when I'm 60, when I'm 70, when I'm 80, that's how I still want to be living. A deep respect for them. And with Jesus, we submit to one another out of a deep and awe-filled respect for him. We could say that this plays out because we see the example he set. We see what he did for us. He submitted himself to us. He submitted himself to death for us. We'll talk about that in a minute. But when we think about this idea of submitting ourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ, you know, Josiah talked to us about this a few weeks ago. When we think about the term Christians, it basically means little Christs, right? Like those who are like Christ going around in the world. So we are those little Christs. We are the ones who are supposed to be living like he did in his example. And what his example was one of submission and surrender. So We could say that all of this, and Paul actually makes a comment about this right in the start of this verse, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. This is the example he set for us, to walk in the way of love. And a part of that is don't go the way of sin. Choose instead to live in the light. Have the Holy Spirit in your life and submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is all part of following God's example because he sets the example of submission and surrender. A couple stories about that. When Jesus was just, you know, he had been born and we're about to celebrate the Christmas story, which is going to be really a lot of fun over the month of December. He was born, and then he kind of had, we read about his early years, and then there's sort of a gap in what we read about Jesus' life. But then he comes back on the scene. And when he comes back on the scene, and he's ready to start going out and do all kinds of crazy things, like healing people and casting out demons and all sorts of crazy stuff, Jesus, just before he does that, goes to John the Baptist. And John was a guy who was living out in the wilderness, kind of like a prophet. He looked weird. He was dressed in animal skins, and he ate locusts and honey for breakfast. He just... one of the, like, just shaggy, kind of crazy guy. Anyways, John's out there in the wilderness, and tons of people from all over Israel are coming to him to get baptized because they want to repent of the way they've been living their life. They want to start going the other way. And so they go in the water, they get cleaned up, and then they go to try and live their life the way they're supposed to. And Jesus, the sinless Son of God, the one who never committed any sin, comes to John. And he says, John, I'm here to get baptized. And John's like, no, you're the one who should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, let's let it be this way for now. He submitted himself to the authority of John to baptize him in that place before he went out and started his ministry. When Jesus was with his disciples then for the next 3 years, he did all sorts of amazing things, as we already said. And at the end of that time, when full, and he was ready to actually be crucified for us. His disciples, I mean, he had talked to them about it a lot. They still didn't get it, didn't know it was really coming. But Jesus took them out after a meal together and took them out to a garden, and they went and they prayed, and the disciples fell asleep while Jesus was praying. But as Jesus was praying, he was talking to his Father, and he realized and knew fully what the ramifications of what he was about to do were. He talks about the image of the cup, and he was looking into this cup, which in a sense was the cup of God's wrath for all of the sin of the world through all of history, both past, present, and future. And he was looking into this, seeing the horror of every awful act that humanity has ever committed in front of him. And he was being asked to drink from this cup, essentially. He was being asked to go and allow himself to be killed for the penalty for all of this that he was looking at. And so he says to God, he says, if it's your will, please take this cup from me. My heart is that I would really rather not drink this cup. I'd rather not have to deal with the horror of this. But not my will, but yours be done. He submitted himself to the will of the Father. And then from that point on, because it was the Father's will that he would go and be executed for all of humanity and all of the sin that we've committed throughout history. Then Jesus submitted himself to the authorities who came to arrest him, the authorities who put him in a kangaroo court and brought false witnesses to testify against him. He submitted himself to the soldiers who pulled out their whips and whipped his back repeatedly, tearing flesh off of his back. He submitted himself to the guards who hauled him up to outside the city, where they nailed his hands and his feet to a cross and raised him up to die. He submitted himself to all of them. And at the end of it, could still say, forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're doing. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. A part of which means to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So as you think about walking in the way of love, a lot of this is dealing with us at a real heart issue, right? Are we willing to yield control? Are we willing to give that up, trusting God really in this? That as we do that, as we surrender ourselves to one another, as we submit to one another, God's got it. And this is actually working out for good according to his plan. So there's a hard issue we got to deal with here about actually being willing to yield control. And for me, that's a tough one. I like to control things. I like to control outcomes. I like to have things predictable, know how it's going to work out. And to let go of that is not easy. It's not easy to do in a relationship. So practically, how does this work out? Well, it's interesting. Paul actually doesn't leave us just with the kind of the heart stuff and the, you know, just working this out in a general sense. He actually lays out three very practical examples of what this looked like in the society in which he was living at the time. And so here's the three examples he gives. The first one is an example of marriage. And herein lies the great text that's always very controversial around weddings. Wives, submit to your husbands. Should we just stop there? How is it that we always forget the verse that comes directly before that and the context of what comes directly after it and get all bent out of shape about this piece? Anyways, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, and husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In other words, wives and husbands, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Oh, didn't we just say that? Yes, we did. Wives and husbands, submit yourselves to one another. Put each other above yourself. Look to the other's needs before the needs of yourself. Care for them. Love them more than you love yourself. Put one another above yourselves. Oftentimes I talk about this when we do a wedding ceremony, just about the idea of mutual submission and how it actually works out. And the great thing about this is, you win more with mutual submission than you do with demanding something from one another. Now, if you've been in a marriage for a long time and you've actually lived this out, you know what I'm talking about and you know it's true. When you're submitting yourself to one another and you're putting the other person's needs above your own and you're not just trying to get what you want from the other person, and they're doing the same thing and they're putting your needs above their own, and they're not trying to grab from you what they want or need, you actually both still get your needs and wants met because the other person's looking out for you and trying to bless you and please you, and you didn't have to try and demand it or manipulate it or try and passively, aggressively drag it out of someone else. It was given as a free gift. And let's be honest, things are much more fun when it's a gift you get to open than when it's something you had to, you know, slave away for and feel like you had to just, you know, grab it and almost steal it away from something. It's way more fun to be just given a gift. So husbands and wives, just in a very practical sense, really submit yourselves to one another. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Gave up his life, gave up everything, submitted himself for her. That's how you're supposed to live. Husbands and wives, make sure that's how it happens, right? Submit yourselves one to another. How about parents and kids? Talks about how, you know, children, obey your parents as you would the Lord. But fathers, don't exasperate your children. Don't live in a way where you're kind of lording that authority you have over them. Oh, you guys have to obey me. We have plans for you, right? No. Children, you guys are supposed to obey your parents. Absolutely. And this is unconditional, right? Same thing as, here's the thing that gets messy. We don't get to choose to submit when the other person will choose to submit. It's not the command. Submit to one another. Just go do it. Anyway, so kids, submit, you know, submit to your parents. Obey them. I'm looking right at my son. Sorry, that's not fair. Now, Zach, here's your turn to glare at me, okay? Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Right? Just as he should obey me and my kids should obey me as they do the Lord, so too I should treat them in the way that I would want to treat the Lord. Not exasperating, not trying to hold any kind of authority or power and just drill it into them all the time in a harsh way, but to care for them and love them and to look out for their best interests. Again, there's a sense of mutual submission, putting yourself under the power of another. So fathers, parents, kids, you guys should be living this way too. Third example he gives us of slaves and masters. Now, we don't typically have slaves in Canada. I haven't had one for quite a while. a couple of you got that. That's good. Anyway, so, you know, oftentimes we liken this a little bit to work, and not that we think of work as drudgery and slavery, but it's a relationship between employer and employee. There's someone with power over another in a work environment. So it's a close connection. So let's talk about that one just a little bit. And the idea that, you know, slaves, you guys should be working for your masters as you're working for the Lord. Like, think of your master as you would work for the Lord. So whether they're there or not there, work your hardest, do your best, because you're working as unto the Lord. And masters, treat your slaves, remembering that you're also being looked at for how your actions are towards them. And if you treat them harshly, you'll be judged. Treat them as you would treat the Lord. So submit yourself to them in terms of how you treat them. You know, thinking about the idea of an employee, there's been a few times in my life, actually most of the jobs in my life where I've worked, where there's opportunities, because just being in roles of leadership or other spaces, where there's been long stretches where I haven't necessarily had a direct supervisor watching over everything I'm doing. So when I'm thinking about this idea that, you know, whether they're there or not there, whether they're watching or not watching, still work as unto the Lord, that's a really important concept for me. When I worked at McDonald's as a teenager, I worked my way up to being a crew chief, so I didn't always have one of the managers watching over my shoulder, but I was looked at to give leadership to others in our restaurant. And there were times, especially closing shifts, where the manager would be off in the back counting cash or doing whatever they were doing, and we were just out on the floor, and we had opportunity just to goof off because there weren't a lot of customers, or we could do some of the things that we were supposed to do. In that moment, what do I choose? To submit to my boss would mean to actually continue to do the things that I know I'm supposed to do, whether he's watching or not. When I worked at the Christian Book and Music Center, I came in on Friday nights when the rest of the major, you know, main part of the full-time crew was all getting off work. And so I'd have a few hours in the evening, again, where it was just basically me and one other part-timer. And we kind of had the run of the store. Again, what do we do when the boss is away? Even here, I get to basically set my own hours to a large degree. How do I use my time? Do I do this in a way that's honoring to the Lord? Because I'm submitting myself to the elders and to you and to God in that space. Or as a boss, how do I treat my employees? Do I treat them in a way that is honoring to God, in a way that I want to treat him? Or do I treat them harshly? This is the stuff we're talking about, very practical stuff. How are we submitting ourselves to one another in our workplace, in our families, in our marriages? How are we doing it with one another here? One other example I want to share with you, it comes actually from the writings of Peter, one of the letters he wrote, and this is what he says. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. So here's the thing. Be shepherds of God's flock that's under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. In leadership within church, in relationships within church, this is what it should look like. Not trying to play little power games and hold things over one another, but being humble with one another. Submitting ourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. So when we think about this whole thing, I mean, it's a really simple statement. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We're really talking about entrusting ourselves to someone else. Yielding ourselves to someone else's power and authority. And as we said earlier on, that comes with a whole lot of risk. It makes us very vulnerable. It requires a lot of trust to actually choose to let go of some of that control and let someone else speak into our life. Last week, Max, our youngest son, and I were at the pool. And Max is 10 years old, and he is one of the bravest kids I know for a lot of reasons. But he wanted to go jumping off the diving boards, and I'm a fearful dad, so I'm like, okay, 1 meter's good. 1 meter diving board's good, and you can do that one. Oh, I want to go on the 3 meter diving board. Okay, buddy. Yeah, okay, you can go off the 3 meter diving board. And he did, and he just had a blast. He was having so much fun jumping off it until he kind of went off at a little bit of an angle, and that didn't quite feel as good when he hit the water. But other than that, it was great. But as we were at the pool, we were watching, you know, all these other kids going off the boards and stuff. And at one point, they opened up the 5 meter platform, if you've been at the aquatic center. Now, when you're looking at it from a ways away, it's no big deal. And then you get like right up to the 5 meter platform, and you start to think, you know, that's actually a long ways up there, right? And we saw this one girl who came out on the 5 meter platform, and she walked kind of very cautiously, holding onto the rail as far as she could towards the end. And she was kind of standing at the end, looking out. And she had, I think she wore corrective lenses because she kept saying, I can't see. And she had a friend across the pool who was trying to coach her and encourage her to jump off the platform, right? And she's just up there kind of like this, kind of cowering a little bit back towards the railing, like, I don't think I can do this. And finally she said, no, I can't. And she turned around and went back down. Now she came out a little while later. We were watching again a little bit later, and she came back out on the platform. And she stood there again, looking at this incredible leap in front of her, probably with all kinds of fear welling up within her. And the choice, will I let go of what I feel very safe on up here and let go of control to let myself go falling down? And that's the choice we're faced with when we talk about submitting to one another. Are we willing to step to the edge of the platform and go, there's a huge risk. The reward is tremendous because when the adrenaline rush hits and you're going down, like, wow, fantastic. But are we willing to step off and surrender the safety and control we feel about holding on to things ourselves and submit ourselves to one another? God set this up in a way that we receive the greatest benefit when we actually surrender control to one another and have others do the same with us, and we build each other up. That's how it's supposed to work, and that's how it does work. But there is that step of needing to let go. So, as we talk about this today and as we just reflect on this a little bit, and we'll give you some time and response to do that, here's the question for you. Where is God asking you to choose to let go of control in relationships with other people? To submit yourself to them so that he can build you up in that space. Where is he asking you to jump off the platform and trust him? Let's take a moment and pray, and then we're going to take some time in response. Father, the way that you have set up our Christian life sometimes feels incredibly scary. Sometimes it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us how this actually works, but as we live it out, we see that it does. And so, Lord, I just pray for us today that in the spaces where we need to surrender control, whether that's a choice to surrender control to you and allow you to direct us, or whether that's a choice to surrender control to one another and submit ourselves to one another, help us to be bold, to take the risk. And Lord, we pray that as we do that, as we test you in this, that you would show yourself to be faithful and we would see blessing come from it, even if there is hurt. So Father, just show us today what it is that you want us to take away from this, where it is that we need to step out with you and surrender. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.